What's up, y'all? Here's a quick recap of last week.
Being naive to the fact that wearing super expensive clothing wouldn't evoke emotion in a regular, rational person. Like, just trying to think, for somebody that makes $40K a year, the idea of someone wearing some Red Octobers that are reselling for $5,000 to $10,000 is impossible to comprehend.
Like, right.
There was a lot of conversations happening about this kind of thing where their worship leaders, pastors that seemingly were putting a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, but nobody could put a finger to it or why it made them feel uncomfortable or feel gross or feel like it was wrong. Just me kind of pointing to the sneakers aspect of it was, I think, cathartic for a lot of people. And it's still to be decided if it's for better or for worse.
Welcome back to part two. I'm so happy you're here. Let's dive in where we left off. So it seems like there's two things that happened that created a shift in you. One, you decided to not be anonymous anymore. And then two, what you said earlier was there was kind of you had a new way of looking at it. Like the way you started, where the way you looked at it is like different now. Mm-hmm. Did both come because of the success, like the understanding of it? What happened there? Like what made that transition?
Yeah, on the anonymity thing, admittedly, I was just exhausted from trying to keep a private persona. Like you have to have all your ducks in a row all the time. Like, so I had to have another email address and a fake phone number, and I had to make sure all the people that did know about what I was doing weren't telling their friends and their family when they all were. Like you come to find out everyone has their circle of five people that they're going to tell your secrets to, but that was the only five, but it starts to balloon out of control pretty quickly. And so just like from a life perspective, I got pretty sick of trying to do the anonymous thing and make sure nobody found out who I was. It was cool for a bit because it was kind of this, somebody characterized it as like a Christian Banksy type thing where it's like, all right, he's making all these waves, but nobody knows who he is. And so that was cool for a time, but then after about a year's worth, I was like, all right, bro, I'm good. Like, I'm a grown man. I don't need to be like hiding myself from everybody on social media. And so that was the majority of it. I also wanted to like see what else was out there in terms of participating in what everyone was talking about. Like, I was kind of limited in what I could do for like going on podcasts or being in YouTube videos or being on the news, that kind of stuff. I wasn't interested in the like publicity of it, but I was interested in being able to contribute more than just be like this nameless, faceless dude that was posting this one thing. Cause it kind of, the point got made, the content was the same. I wanted to do more. So that was that on the anonymous thing. And then the kind of the change of heart, I think my heart just got more experienced or got a broader perspective than just kind of the black and white, this is either right or wrong. Like having conversations with dudes about how literally Justin Bieber let them walk into Barney's and take whatever they wanted or walk into Flight Club and take whatever they wanted. It's like that's context that not many people get. And I was able to receive a lot of this different context. And I'm not the type of guy that, like, I'm open to changing my opinion or I'm open to like receiving new information and admitting where I was wrong. I'm not admitting that I was wrong for this, but I am admitting that like more information allowed me to shape a more nuanced perspective about this, where like kind of to your point earlier, that I don't think it's universally wrong to have a $500 pair of shoes or even maybe wear them while preaching. But the context matters, the audience matters, what you're trying, what your heart behind those things matters. And I'll never know the heart of every single preacher and why they wear the things that they do. But I hope that they at least consider their own heart about why they wear it. Like, why are you wearing the Gucci belt, bro? Like, are you wearing it because your wife gave it to you and she was saving up for 5 years and really wanted to bless you with this thing that you thought was really cool? Or are you wearing it because the brand makes you feel awesome or makes you makes you think that you're awesome? Like there's a lot there. And so I'm just at least sensitive to all that nuance around that. And I haven't handled this perfectly, but I'm at least open to, I'm very much not like, people in ministry should not have nice things. I think nice things are great. I would love to have nice things myself. And when you work hard, it feels good to actually like have some fruits from your hard work, despite whatever you worked on.
I know for me, from a personal perspective, I was half and half with what I bought and why I wore it, because I'm one of those dudes that I research everything. So I don't like, I'm like, okay, the Louis backpack is $2,400, but why should I spend $2,400? Like, why? Tell me, give me something to at least make me feel good about why. And so I remember walking into a Louis store and I'm like, $2,400? Why? I literally said that. I was like, why?
They're not used to having to sell that way.
At all. And so the lady goes, let me show you. And she starts telling me about how they're made in France, still in the same shop, by hand. It's one person doing it. Here's the multiple sections of the thing. She walked through it. Your duffel bag is just one piece of canvas that goes around and sews up, and then two on the end, so that's easier and quicker manpower. So this costs $1,500. The backpack is this piece, then this piece, and this piece, and you got somebody doing it in the factory the same way they did it when they first started. I'm like, holy crap.
She sold you, bro.
She just, and then I'm like, I'm researching myself. Oh man, the brand, why is the monogram? Why is the Damier? Oh, it started off with a Damier, but then people were jacking Louis back then. Back then they were making counterfeits, back in the freaking 1800s. So they came out with the monogram to stop people, because it was harder to copy than the little squares. Yeah. And so now they got monograms. So I'm just researching the history and everything, and I'm enthralled now. Now I'm like, damn.
And then you got the full set. She told you on the full set.
I had two full sets, bro. and they stayed in their boxes for 6 months after I bought it, because my wife was like, man, people already think a certain way about you. Like, do you really want to go out with these? And I'm like, my man, babe, I love them so much, but you're right. And so those purchases were made because of a pure love for the story of the family, like what they were able to accomplish. You know, I'm a Porsche guy. I've studied Porsche so hardcore, so I collect them now. But I'm like, die hard. I can tell you everything about the car.
Love that.
But there was a time when I finished my stint in Group One Crew and I wasn't in the Christian industry, that I still was having the designer thing. Cause I right. would buy it before, because one time I bought some from Target and I looked in the audience and the fan had the same shirt that I did. So I freaked out and I was like, okay, this can't happen again. Because there needs to be some level of like I gotta feel like
you're looking up at me, but we look the same, you know.
Different. It's probably still hella vain, but so I was like, at least there was a reason for why I was buying nice stuff. Now I wouldn't go tell people this is what I'm wearing. They'd be like, nice shoes. I'd be like, okay, cool, or nice shirt, okay, cool, and I wouldn't say anything. But afterwards, I did find myself leaning on these things to keep the persona of I'm still that guy in the light. And it became very depressing when I would throw on a $15,000 outfit to drive to the Grove, walk around by myself, go to a movie, and come back home. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, this is why you have this stuff? Like, this is it? Right. And I can be honest and say it was, to a degree, ego. Now, I love fashion. I really, really love fashion, but something about it made me feel like people are going to look at me and think I'm successful.
Right.
It's the same reason why I have a gold presidential. And I thought, this is it. You know, this is what you get when you make it.
Which, those are pretty sick.
And I they mean, are.
Those rollies are nice.
But man, when I tell you nobody has ever freaking complimented my watch, I'm like, I could be wearing a damn Timex and there would be no difference. I have been treated no different because I don't run in those circles. The people I'm around don't care what kind of watch I have on. None of my friends care what brand I'm wearing. They don't care at all. So in my world, these things don't mean anything.
Right.
So that's when I started like, well, I don't give a crap about this anymore. Now I'm buying jeans from freaking American Express. You know, I mean, American Eagle, like the same.
With your American Express.
With my American
with
Express.
My Amex, yes.
Because I'm like, oh, they're the same stretch as Amiri, but they don't cost $1,000. Yeah. So I sold all my Amiri jeans, and now I got like.
I remember you selling a bunch of your stuff.
I sold, half of my closet. When I tell you, I had a lot of crap. I have two closets, one in Nashville, one in LA, and they were packed. And I've sold them all down to like
This is the closet. This LA closet's the smallest I've ever.
It's small, in the years I've known you.
And I mean, even some of those hand-me-downs I'm wearing now, and people are like, "Damn, that's really nice." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I know. Y'all see this jacket? This is tough."
Because, bro, because people always used to have this impression of me, but I would give my stuff away to my people. It didn't matter. Like, I don't care what it costs. I'm giving it away because I feel like this blessed to bless. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it makes me feel good when people, it becomes a staple in people's, you know, closets that I had. I just had four of them just chilling in mine. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
But
and that feels like growth too, right? Like to say, "Hey, I used to really care about these brands, but now as a mature dude, now that doesn't do anything for me." That feels like, it feels like more people could benefit from that, where it's like, where is my identity really? Like,
yeah,
if my identity is too wrapped up in these freaking brands, bro, I hope that we can get one person to self-reflect a little bit to say, why do I care so much about wearing this or that brand? Like, y'all are both wearing solid tees. Like, I'm so team like neutral color solid tee, no logo, because a logo often, like, it's, you're basically up advertising for free. You're paying a brand to advertise for them. And so I'm very much team like, oh, I guess you've got your own logo on your team. My bad.
Yeah. This is ours.
I'm just so, I care so much less about brands than even a couple years ago. Just when you, I guess when you get older and you kind of learn what, or you think you learn what matters, it feels like brands and stuff go down in value. Or at least they did.
Oh, for sure. Like the second I found out I was having a kid, I was like, I looked at everything that I had and I was like, "Oh my God, you're so dumb. Like, why do you have all this stuff?" Like, it literally, it made me just feel like really dumb. Because yeah.
I don't judge you or I don't judge people for having nice stuff. Like, I think having nice stuff is cool, especially if it makes you feel good, or if it makes you, if it's like a, I'm very much team, like, set a goal and then reward yourself
right
for achieving that goal. So stuff like that, dude, that makes it way different, where like, this represents me working hard for something and reaping the rewards in some way to like have that validation that I achieved a goal.
I mean that's why I got the gold presidential, because I finished group one, I put in my 14 years, I had this money in the bank. And I was like,
so much time to be in a band.
Yeah. And mind you, scraping by, mind you, paying everyone before I pay myself. The last 2 years I was in it, it was just me by myself. Blanca had left, Pablo had left. And I told my, booking agent, I was like, "Hey man, book me as many shows as you can, 'cause I need to pay my band. Like, they're counting on me. As long as it pays them and I don't go in the red, I'll take the show." So they're booking me nonstop, and I'm literally doing shows just so that my band can get money and live their life. 'Cause I was fine on my life. Mm-hmm. My last two tours, I was in debt before I even hit the road. I was in debt $30,000-$40,000.
Damn.
And I was just like, "You know what? God, you'll provide. I got to keep my band out there." And everybody got paid, and I did all, you know, it was just insane. So after it all, it was like, you know what, when somebody right. when a CEO retires from his company, he usually gets given a watch, and it's like, you know, "Thank you for your service," kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of did it for myself. I was like, "All right, I'm the CEO, I'm gonna thank myself for the service, and I'm doing it for, you know, for me to say you did it, bro." And every time I look at that watch, I'm like, man, 14 years of touring, making nothing, just like eking by, all in the name of the Lord.
And that watch probably gone up in value too.
Oh, for sure.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, no, for sure. The investment is real. But as you said earlier, before we were push record, you're into now a new vocation. Mm-hmm. What are you getting into now?
Yeah, most of my time right now is spent selling software. So I work at a company called a ClickUp, and we make a project management software. And most of my time is spent on Zoom calls, emails, trying to get people onboarded on this software platform. I've been doing it for like 6 months or so, because the same thing happened when we were pregnant with our first kid. That realization comes at you quick. And I was at the at the time I was doing the kind of virtual media tour for my book and quickly realized that it's pretty hard to sell books.
Yeah.
And you got to sell a ton of freaking books to, if you don't have a congregation to sell them to and a bunch of buddies with conference circuits to go sell them to, it's pretty hard to sell. So I eventually told my publisher, like, look, I got to go get a job, bro. Like, y'all have salaries. I got to, this baby's coming and my wife is not going to put up with me trying to sell this book. Like, I got to get paid now.
Yeah.
And so I've got a background in business in varying degrees. I started the account when I was getting my master's in business. And so I've just gone back into the corporate workforce and happy with just being able to provide for my family that way. I like business and I like sales specifically because I feel pretty equipped for that, especially having spent 3+ years doing a podcast and having interacted with the broadest spectrum of people I could imagine. It's served me well so far, but it is this kind of weird, people ask me at the company, especially when I tell them about what's going on Instagram, they're like, why are you here? And it's like, dude, Instagram is not the place to go viral. YouTube is the place to go viral. So you can get paid, bro.
Yeah.
Like Instagram, I could have 10 million followers and not make a cent. And so I'm spending less time, it like as a guy with a kid and a kid on the way, it doesn't seem like a great use of my time to like really be on Instagram for, like, I was on Instagram 10 hours a day the first year or so of Preachers and Sneakers. Cause there's, I mean, content never stops. Y'all know this.
Like, yeah.
The demand for content never stops. Trying to be like aware of all the trends and what's going on in the space, it's exhausting and it never stops. And so I just kind of set a boundary where I was like, look, I'd rather take care of my family. And the best way I know how to is go back into business. And so right now it's super busy. But also I like sales because there's like a satisfaction to it where you kind of go through a process, you ask for the close at a certain point and they do close and sign the documents and all that. It's like super satisfying. And so I'm enjoying that. I don't know how, I'd like to have my own company one day.
Sure. Do you know what that would be?
Not really. I'm kind of open to it. I don't have a timeline for it. Like I see this software sales thing as kind of upskilling on the sales go to market strategy type stuff. And so like, I could see myself owning like a landscape business, or even if I keep working in software, owning my own SaaS company in some capacity, something that I could, be interested in, but also have the ability to like grow it and then hopefully sell it. Like
that's where
everybody out in LA, if you're not a superstar or even in Dallas, like that's how everybody's made their money, is if they grow a business and they sell it, or they go buy companies, grow them and then sell them. So I'm interested in doing that at some point.
You'd probably
maybe
crush
some real estate too.
I was about to say, you probably crush at real estate. Like the better you are at sales, the easier it is to go and convince somebody to sell you their house, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I did. Dedicated my
life.
That's
one of my goals. That's one of my goals this year, is to invest in one rental property, which it feels like a daunting thing because it just seems so freaking expensive. But
yeah,
every wealthy person I know is significantly invested in real estate. And I would love it. I don't have any money, but hopefully at one point I can find a good deal and raise the money and do it that way.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's where I'm cutting my teeth in, you know, like I'm probably.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. I do real estate on the side. Like that's where I've committed to create my wealth. Cause
sweet.
I'm anti, as much as I like social media, I am trying to like find the exit as soon as possible. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can admit that this is for the generation under me. I'm the old head. That's like, I don't want to do it. So real estate has been the thing where I've been, you know, super active in. I'm doing my first private lending deal today. This year,
sweet.
Actually, in the next couple days, I'm doing it. I own like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like 9 properties right now.
Dang, dude!
I'll add another.
I want to talk to you after this about about it then, bro.
My goal this year is to add another 3 to
That's so sick
to the year. So you know,
it just seems like such a huge thing. Like I get into analyzing a deal and then just realize I'm over my skis. And be like, well, let me just do some more research or do some more. Like, I feel like I need to pull the trigger on one, even if it's not a, a great deal in order to like get through the process.
Well, I mean,
because
and there
seems like so complicated.
It is. There's so many ways that you can do it. Like you can hop on forums. You can find a realtor in your area who knows how to do it. Like they're an investor's realtor. And yeah. they know how to like, yo, this is a decent deal. This is this. And have people that can do the numbers for you and you're just the money guy. So I've kind of like spread my wings on all of it. I'm in a commercial property in Odessa, Texas. And these people fundraise and you throw in your money and you make a 10% return. Yeah, a syndication. And so you don't have to do anything but have the money. And then you just, they find a deal and you, you know, I have that working in the background. This private That's lending dope. Is something working in the background where I just, you know, I don't have to do anything for it. Renting spaces, that's different. Now I'm a landlord and that becomes more of an active time consuming thing. Finding the deal, I have people in different cities that I'm like, yo, I have money. If you find a deal, bring it to me and I'll pay you $4,000 for the deal. It's the easiest money you'll ever make. All you got to do is run the numbers for me. You know, I'll double check them and bring it to me and I'll pay you $4,000 to say thank you for bringing me the deal. It's like, where are you going to get $4,000 for just like doing some Googling? And you know, like it takes you 20 tight. Minutes a day. So there's ways around it so that you don't have to be the pro, but you just build a team that they're pros at what they do. And then you just kind of come in and be like, okay, I know enough to know this is a decent deal. You know what I'm saying? Cool, so it's definitely a good avenue to get into, especially if you're a salesman. Like you can be the guy that closes the deal. Cause I love selling the deal. I love talking to the owner and just being like, yo, what's up? I'll give you this much cash if you close right now. Let's make it happen. And I'll talk them into why it's the best, you know, best way to go with me. But you would get the same satisfaction from what you're doing now in the real estate space.
I love that.
So it'll be worth it. But man, it's so good to finally know the story, man, and know everything that you've been through and where you're at now. So your book is out. So I'll put the link in the description for all the things that you do. But your book and then your podcast, are you done with the podcast now as well? You've done?
Yeah, not officially. I haven't made many episodes this year or any episodes really. Just been focused on doing the sales job and just being a dad and a husband. And so I'm expecting to get back into it at some point, but I think there's probably 50 or 60 episodes there for people to listen to that. I've interviewed a lot of people. Angela's been on the podcast, interviewed a lot of interesting people and really proud of the content that I put out there. And it's gone through varying levels of change, but yeah, the book is the most relevant to me. Like, it's super, oftentimes on Amazon, it's like $3 or something. So I make like 12 cents maybe.
Wow.
If I sell a book, 12 cents against my advance. So like, I'm not even banking any money on it. But yeah, the book I wrote as a kind of deeper dive into some of the things we've talked about today, deeper topics that come from preachers literally wearing sneakers. And so if people are interested, it's called Preachers and Sneakers, Authenticity in an Age of For-Profit Faith and Wannabe Celebrities, kind of a long subtitle. But there's also an audiobook, or if people can't afford it, just DM me and I'll send you one. I don't care. Just would love for people to read it.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely plug it. Authenticity for a Profit Culture. I feel it, man.
Yeah.
I feel it.
I'm happy to convict you guys on the way out.
I'm not even a part of the culture anymore, so I don't even know if I feel it in that way, but I feel it for myself. I really do. And I do things periodically to test myself, which I think is healthy. Like I sold at the beginning of the in 2020, I sold two of my cars just to show myself or to prove to myself I wasn't attached to the cars. Because I was like, if I sell these two things and I feel a certain type of way, then I know these things have a hold of me.
Yep.
And I sold both of them and was just like, I'm good. So that really made me feel like awesome. And I'm thinking of selling another one. I'm thinking of like getting rid of another one just because I'm like, I think I may have done this backwards. Because my whole goal was to get the certain amount of passive income and then let that pay for the toys. I pay for the toys up front and don't have the passive income to sustain them.
And the toys are depreciating rapidly.
No. My toys are going up. This is why I'm mad that I sold both of my cars. Cause I sold my yellow 911 for like $35,000. Those people turned around and sold it 2 months later for 55.
Oh.
And then my GTS that I had.
The black one?
No, it was my yellow one. I don't know if you remember my yellow
one. I do remember the yellow one.
That's your garage, bro.
And then my GTS that I had new, to this day, you can still sell it for like 130, 140. Brand new, it was 155.
Yeah.
And that's a 2018. So I could have driven it this entire time and basically paid nothing for it.
Dang.
But I got out of it early, and so that was my biggest regret. But I only feel a certain type of way because investor in me is like, oh, I could have right. made money off of that. But I don't feel a certain type of way of like my image is in it. But now I really want to sell because I feel like I did it backwards. Let me do it right. Let me, you know, instead of having a $90,000 car in my driveway that takes work for me to drive it because I got to drive all of them. Now I'm like, why don't I just buy a house with that? Let that appreciate. In 5 years, that house is going to be paying for a way nicer version of the car. But at least I'm doing things correctly by my family's sake. Because that car ain't going to do nothing for my little girl my wife, you know? Anyways, money talks. We can do this all day long.
Angela's like, why don't you take me out on a date sometime, bro?
I take her all the time. We work because she don't like nice things. She likes nice houses and going on experiences.
Yeah.
Other than that, she could care less. You know, some awesome. Nikes and that's it. So I love that.
And a garden. I remember her garden.
Oh, she freaking loves it. We don't have one here. I'm really sad about that. And we're in this rental property that we're going to live in for the next 2 to 3 years. But she doesn't have a garden here, so I'm going to have to work on that. But
put you to work.
Yeah, bro. Anyways, guys, thank you so much. If you've been listening so far, definitely subscribe to the channel. Share it with your friends. We would appreciate it so much. Ben, thanks so much for hanging out with us, dude. I appreciate you. And like we always say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.